Hey everyone, welcome to the Dad Talks Podcast, the podcast where we bring dads together to share stories in order to encourage and inspire other dads to be better every day. I'm your host, JT Zrodnik. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Dad Talks. Have you ever found yourself as a parent asking questions like, why does it smell like pee in here? My guest on this episode actually said that along with some other questions he never thought would come out of his mouth. My guest is Brenton Laidler, a friend of mine who I connected with through the Live Free app. As you hear in the interview, we connected just because we had similar personalities, humor, and yeah, we would just share stories like this of my kid just did this, or I just did this. I just blew up in front of my kids, different parenting situations like that. And so I thought, man, let's have Brenton on just to talk about some of those things, share some of those funny stories, but also just some of his wisdom. So Brenton is a worship pastor in Idaho, and it's quite a story of how Brenton, this born and raised Mormon, fell in love with a Baptist preacher's daughter who would not only lead him to Christ, but become his wife. And then Brenton would go on to become a pastor himself. Brenton shares some of his failures as a dad, along with some of the wisdom he has picked up as a dad of three kids. We talk about the fear parents have of their kids being influenced by the culture around them and what to do about it. Enjoy my interview with Brenton Laidler on this episode of Dad Talks.
Oh, no, I just don't like the earbuds. I wear them for worship all the time and it just gets annoying. So these like give my ears a break because having an earbud kind of hurts my ears every once.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm very...
My ears get tender.
Oh, that's awesome.
It hurts sometimes.
Sometimes yeah, it hurts.
So I wear the headphones. For the headphones so that, you know, I give my ear a break.
See, I'm the other way. I've always felt like, granted, probably have massive ears. So I feel like my ears are always squished into my head on those. And
I was looking at your ears. They are pretty massive. Like,
yeah, I have a huge head.
So they probably couldn't fit, you know, a normal size set of headphones on those things.
Yeah. So, and I don't know how those guys
good
work
thing you
out.
Wear glasses though. Cause
well, this is, yeah, I'm don't, lazy. Granted. These are like,
yeah,
broken.
Well, I was just saying, just your glasses have a very clear platform to rest on. So,
wow,
that's what I was
douche.
I was making an ear joke.
Yeah, I don't know how those guys have them and work out. It's like we went from the tiniest little things, and then we went to huge. I don't understand that.
Yeah, yeah.
All right,
especially on the treadmill.
I know any of it. And you're just sweating. I'm like, it's like wearing earmuffs inside, which yeah. Sounds awful. Let's see. Make sure I've turned that off. Boom. All right. Let's do this. So, all right. So I have Brenton Laidler on the podcast. Brenton, go ahead. Just introduce yourself real quick. Who you are, what you do, how you do, who you do. You're wow. Married, kids, going all that good stuff.
Yeah. So I'm a worship pastor in Lewiston, Idaho. I am a self-published author, podcaster, father of three, married to my wife just recently of 15 years. And yeah, that's what I do. Yeah. Was that all the questions?
What was the date you said just recently to your wife?
Just recently.
Just
recently was my anniversary.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. What was the date?
October 20th. October 20th.
Okay. I was just curious.
I was like, did I just say I was married recently? I was like, no, we've been,
no, we've been no, recently celebrated. No, because that's what.
Yes.
I just had a birthday, kid had, so I was wondering if it'd fall on any of the three birthdays that fall in these months. All right, the 20th.
Now, did I miss it?
No. So you got 50, my birthday? Yeah, that's fine. It's okay. Let's see, 15 years, three kids. How old are your kids?
They are 6, 8, and 10.
Six, eight. Okay. Yeah. So mine are right in between 9, 7, and 4 is underneath. And then you've got boy. Okay. What's the breakdown?
Boy, girl, boy. Yeah. My oldest is 10. He's my son. And then my daughter is 8. And then my youngest son is 6. And they're like almost exactly 2 years apart. Mm-hmm. We did not plan that, but that's just kind of how it happened. So their summer birthdays, July and June. So summer's fun.
Except that's how I think, like, that's how mine are, that they're close. And I think I'd I mean, that's how we did tours. Like, I'd rather just get all the baby stuff over at once instead of like get a kid to 4 or 5 and then start over.
Yeah.
So it's like,
I don't know how people do that.
Just let me go psycho for about 6 years and then you're good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Not like, oh, let's go back.
There was a sweet spot where we were like, well, we can try for a fourth. And like right now would be the window if we wanted to have a kid, because we don't want it to go any longer because we're enjoying our life right now.
Yeah.
And so like, we don't want to enjoy it too much and be like, I never want to go back. So we had to, you know, figure that out. So yeah, I get you.
Yeah. Cause you, that's what I've got a buddy who's has a son who's 2 and you're like, oh, he's fun. And then you watch him, and you're like, oh yeah, you can't do anything by yourself. You still wear diapers. You do like, do you eat? Nope. You don't eat. You throw food. Like, okay, nope, I'm good. Mine are self sufficient. You know, basically they can take care of themselves.
Yeah.
And
you don't have to be constantly running around with them, making sure they don't, like, you know, eat power cords or anything like that. So,
I mean, my son still might. Or gosh, that like the difference. I mean, I know there's a difference between boys and girls, obviously, but like you don't understand it as a boy growing up, and then you see your boy, and you're like, we are literally the dumbest species. Like, just some of the stuff he'll do, you're just like, what? Like, what in your brain thought this was a good idea? I'm like, oh man.
What's really fun is my wife always does the, like, I'll say the exact same thing. Like, what the heck are you thinking? Like, why are you doing this? And my wife will just look at me and go, you do this all the time. I'm like, no, I don't. She's like, this is literally little you. Like, you do the same thing, just in a different context. And I'm I guess.
And that's always the word, like, getting that out. You're like, shoot. Like, come on. Cause she probably, right. Cause you probably pee all over the toilet, right. And make a mess.
No, never. No, I purposely aim for the middle of the bowl.
Did you ever do your son's like, hey, let's, could you, what was the one story that you walked in and he, I don't know which one, let you can call him out or no, just leave him. I didn't.
Well, there were 2 times, still the same kid, my youngest kid. The first time I walked in the bathroom and I was like, why does it smell like pee? Like, it smells like urine. Like, what is going on? And I looked in the shower, and we have like a walk-in shower for the boys, because we have a basement. And so the boys are downstairs in the basement. So we'll walk-in shower. And I'm like, dude, are you just like peeing in the shower, like from the outside of the shower? He's like, yeah. Like, why are you doing that? And I was like, don't do that anymore. Like, don't. And then the other time I walked in, just I didn't walk in, you know, when my kid's going to the bathroom, but I saw him, and like out of the corner of my eye, because the door was cracked, he's holding the lid while peeing. And I'm like, You can't hold the lid while you pee. Like, you have to rest it on the top. Like, because otherwise, because he's so little that he's barely making it over that lip of the bowl anyway.
Yep.
And so I'm like, dude, you need all the help you can to make sure you aim, because otherwise that's just going straight into the back like a backboard shot. And that's what he was doing, and it was getting everywhere. And I was like, what are you doing? Don't do that. Yeah.
Oh, man, my son would do the same. And I'm like, like you said, it's just barely, I'm like, man, if you drop that lid, that is pinching that little guy. Like, put that thing up and get it secure.
And that will scar you for life.
I'm like,
I still don't know if he does it though.
Barely hanging on one and holding the other. I'm like, oh, come on. No, that's
when it's early in the morning too. And like, he's like asleep, like half asleep. And I'm like, dude, just, so he's already kind of rocking back and forth anyway. So his aim is not that great.
Yeah.
And, so anyway,
man, that's what I was eventually like, you know what? I'm tired of cleaning up my own pee at the time. I'm just sitting down at in the middle of the night. Cause you're like, I can't see half the time. Like, I don't know where I'm at. Just sit down. Like, dude, just sit down. It's fine. Every other time you can pee wherever.
Put your elbows on your knees and just enjoy it. There you go.
Yeah. Fall asleep. No, I felt bad. My son, we went out to eat this past week, and it was out of town. So I said, okay, everybody go potty and then we'll leave. daughters get done. I'm like, where's my son? So he comes out, dad, like just sad. I'm like, what happened, buddy? Well, his pants, he couldn't quite get them completely unzipped. So he starts peeing and the front flopped up and he shot right into his jeans. And so just soaked him. And then it's like pee on his shoe. I'm like, hey, it's okay, dude. It happens. He's just like, oh, what do I do? I'm like, well, we'll just stuff some paper towels in there and move on.
You'll be fine.
Oh, I was like,
you didn't do the Billy Madison thing where you peed yourself and said, you're not cool unless you pee your pants.
No, I have a little pride. I guess I could have just thrown some water and be like, hey, let's do this together. But nope, I'm not that cool.
Solidarity. I don't think I would have done that either.
He had dark pants, so it wasn't like you could see. It wasn't like light jeans where it's like, hey, clearly peed himself. Okay. It was like, pull your shirt down, cover it up, we'll walk out, we'll be fine. Yeah. No problem.
Just run around really fast. It'll air dry.
Yeah, just kind of roll the window down, stick it up there, and dry it out. It's no problem.
Yeah, there you go.
So how we met or kind of connect is we connected on our men's group online, right? Mm-hmm. Men's accountability. And I think then you felt sorry for me and called. I don't even know how we got connected other than you're just an awesome dude. And then we started sharing parent fails.
I think that's what it was. Yeah. 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 I was just like, I'm a really cool guy. This guy's not. So let me call him. Yeah. Clearly he needs friends. So let me, no, I don't remember what it was. You were talking about something and I was just like, hey man, I know what you, where you are and, kind of, just want to give you some encouragement or whatever. And then we just kind of realized we had the same sense of humor and laugh at the same dumb things.
Yeah.
And we're like, hey, I guess we're friends now.
Yeah. So we yell at our kids for stuff. They're like, dang it.
Oh yeah. Ugh.
On that, cause that's, I mean, I've noticed with you. So yeah, you're a pastor. And then, I mean, I dived into your blog, which you said you can no longer get into. And then even to some of your other stuff, but like, so
I probably could, I just don't have the login, but
yeah, like on your blog, cause there was a gal who's sharing her testimony. She was gay, but like you wrote a letter essentially as like a loving father.
Yeah. A response to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To her. And so I was just kind of reading it, but then also pick it up on men's group as well. Like you have a very pastoral heart and are very encouraging. Mm-hmm. Like, is that natural? Did you have to figure that out? Was that how mom or dad, like, you're just really good at it most of the time.
That's so funny. Yeah, that's so funny because I think I'm terrible at it. Like, I really, that's a Jesus thing. If you think I'm pastoral and caring and loving, that's all Jesus. That's none of me. So I wish I had a cool answer for you, but I don't. I think I'm the worst at it.
What would your wife say? I mean, are you the encourager or is it kind of like, oh no, he's just,
No, she would say that I like to be helpful. I like to be generous to people. But typically I get inside my own head a lot, especially with, parenting or whatever. I normally, a lot of things just kind of get stuck in my head and it's hard to get out. And so that's, I don't think if you're going to be an encouraging person, sometimes I know in my own heart, I think that's not good. You need to be able to let things go and be able to see the brighter side of things. And I struggle with that. Mm-hmm. I'm really good at connecting with people. And maybe that's what it is, because I have friends since, decades ago that I still talk to and call every once in a while and, hey, I'm praying for you or whatever. And so it's just kind of keeping up relationships that I feel need to be kept up. And in doing that, you end up talking about things and diving into people's lives. And, when advice pops into my head, I'm like, hey, maybe this would help you or maybe this wouldn't help you. And, I'll listen to you or I'll grieve with you or whatever. And so that's just kind of what it is. It's just trying to be a good friend. Mm-hmm. Rather than, I don't know if it's pastoral or not, maybe it is, but it's really just trying to be a good friend to you and be like, hey man, I see you're hurting. So I'm going to try to make you laugh. I'll tell you a dumb joke or whatever. And there you go. So.
Yeah. You say you're not, I don't do any of those things. Thankfully, I have friends that are like you that will call. There's one buddy I rarely answer, and he'll just keep calling. He's just like, why don't you ever? I'm like, I don't know, because I'm the worst human being ever. But
yeah,
Yeah, appreciate guys like you.
He does it with me too.
But I think that's what Marco Polo, that was for there how long? Anyways, but I do think that's a, I don't know. I've had this talk with several people, you know, like community, one is hard. And then as men, we're awful at it. But like what you just said is super easy to just call a guy, make some connect, you know, and kind of you put a little effort in. Yeah. But I don't know why it's, I don't know. I haven't figured out why men suck so bad at community, or you have to get on an online thing to have actual real talks. Yeah.
I think, I don't know, for me, like when I struggle with relationships and stuff like that with other guys, it's just because I'm like, I'm busy and I'm like, I don't want to call him, you know, he's not going to want to talk to me, or no one wants to talk to me. You know, you kind of get in your own head and just like, well, whatever, I'm just going to do what I do and I'm going to have the friends that I see. But I don't know, with like social media, with Marco Polo, with Zoom, with, you know, everything, you can easily send out a text, just be like, hey man, say what's up. That's it. Mm-hmm. And I know, like, if I got that from a friend that I hadn't talked to in years, that I'd be like, oh man, that was really cool. That would make my day. And so I try to do that every once in a while. And in doing that, I'm able to stay friends with a lot of people. So, but yeah, it's just, I think we struggle as men is just because we kind of get tunnel vision and kind of just do our own thing. And it's not like we're like malicious, like screw that guy. Like we're not like that. It's just, no, I got other things going on and sorry, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm with you where you kind of just get busy or focus on your own stuff. And then, oh, I should go call somebody, call them maybe.
But yeah. But if there is the one thing though, that I think with, you know, with learning and recovery and things like that through, or, you know, all the stuff that we're going through, if you keep up those relationships, it's easier to reach out when you need to reach out. Mm-hmm. And so like I have those relationships to where if I'm struggling with something, I could call you and I could probably hear from you within the next couple of days. Like, hey man, heard what was going on.
Yep.
Got your text. What's up? Whereas if I don't maintain those relationships, I can very easily, you know, be a man of my own island. And so I try to keep up relationships, one for, you know, just to have relationships. Cause I think it's fun to, you know, if I'm talking to somebody or whatever, I like talking to people. But if I need help, it's not like I'm like having to restart a friendship to be like, hey, I know we haven't talked in 2 years, but my wife and I are struggling. Like that. You can't do that. You know, no one's going to call you back for that. So,
yeah, that is, I've enjoyed, I don't know if that's the right word, but yeah, the online stuff that, you know, we're, the accountability there, just like you said, where you're getting community with guys that you can call and reach out and have that repertoire to where you're like understanding that it is so important, because that's, cause I'm the same as you to where, you know, I think about my struggle. Actually, I was thinking about all of you guys this past week and, cause it's, you know, for pastors and, you know, guys that are, you know, process through that and saying, how do we, you know, stay healthy for flock? And so just the stress that you guys have there, you know, as pastors, there's already stress. You're already alone because you're a leader. And then like, I know for me, right, so you're a pastor, you're alone. And then it's like, I'm a pastor. I have to be like sinless and perfect, because if I tell anybody, like, I'm going to lose everything, which I know was in my head. And I'm really thankful for the group, especially Carl, where he's like, you're an idiot, that's not how this works, this is how, you know, Jesus and grace. But you know, that, and that's what I, with that group, realizing, okay, yeah, you need to have those guys that you can reach out and be real with. And then, but with the guys, the response of like, okay, Brenton just told me something, and I'm not like, oh my gosh, that's shocking, that's awful, like, okay, how do we learn from it? How do we move forward? Yeah. What's, and it was completely different than what my head says of like, yeah, if I tell anybody, oh man, I'm going to be, you know, blasted on social media, you know, it, I mean, it's going to be awful. And it's like, no, we all have struggles. Yeah. Let's just talk about them. And so, yeah, that's been huge.
Yeah, so often pastors think, and I think it's not just pastors. I think it's Christians that we, like you just said, we have to have the illusion of perfection.
Yeah.
And I came out of a religion that was very much like that, that you had to be, you had to look good on the outside. And so there's a lot of pressure in that. But there's strength in weakness. You know, I think that's what Paul talks about.
Mm-hmm.
There's strength in saying, hey, I'm struggling with something, because typically I've found the response to be me too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, hey, I'm struggling with, you know, porn, or I'm struggling with alcoholism, or I'm struggling with anger, or I'm struggling with pride or whatever. And if you're telling, you know, another person who cares about you, they're going to go, oh, me too. Or, oh, I'm really sorry. How can I help?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's never, oh my gosh, you're such a terrible person.
Yeah.
We can no longer be friends. You know, it's a very much, compassionate thing. I mean, that's kind of how all my addiction stuff came out, was when, my friend told me, hey, I'm struggling with porn.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, me too. And then we both found community instantly, and we were able to kind of talk. And then that led to, you know, getting into that group and stuff like that. So, that's a longer story. That was a super paraphrase of that. But anyway, the point is, like, typically, there is community, and in being vulnerable, you actually find strength, because other people are able to prop you up and, you know, bear one another burdens and all those things. So,
yeah, that's, I was the same, because I had a buddy, oh man, yeah, years ago. And he called and said, hey, I struggle with, yeah, looking at porn. Like, I can't be doing this anymore. Can you help me? And I was like, oh yeah, I mean, I do too. So you're struggling. So let's, you know, then it's like, well, I can't really keep looking at it if I'm trying to help you. And not in the sense of like, well, I don't want you to shame me, but of like, oh yeah, maybe I should get clean. And so, yeah, that's where, I mean, the same to where,
yeah,
like you said, there's strength in the weakness of opening up. And I mean, and that's just, that's not me. I mean, that's like what church should be, right? You know, of,
yeah,
we,
yeah,
as Christians going, and it's not, I mean, yeah, there's the people of like, oh man, I, you know, snort coke and hookers and all this. And it's like, you know, like glorify the sin and like, yeah, dude, you're missing the point. You're not really.
Yeah.
You're
telling to glorify.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of like, yeah, hey,
I think the point is to find somebody that is safe to talk to and healthy for you, to challenge you to be who you are in Christ. I think that's the point, like, especially for pastors, like I have to be very careful who I talk to, and who I, you know, if I'm struggling, you know, with porn, or if I'm struggling with my wife or my kids, I'm not just going to go, you know, at the pulpit and be like, hey guys, today I, you know, like, that's just not a healthy spot.
Cranked one out before I came here.
Oh goodness. But I'm like, I would talk to my pastors. I would talk to my friends and say, hey, I'm struggling with this, but you do that in a safe environment with people that you trust and you care about. You would not, you know, just air your dirty laundry for the glorification of sin, or just to kind of say it and feel better on, you know, for the temporary relief. It would be like, no, I want to be healed. I want to seek righteousness. I want to seek after those good things. So be safe.
Is there, just think, curious, because I think of that too, like for pastors, is there any way or place that they can share their struggles from the stage? Or is that not, like, how do you help?
Oh,
help people. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think there is benefit in being honest with your struggles. Like our lead pastor talks about how he used to be an alcoholic all the time. He actually just shared it this past Sunday. Talks about how he was engaged to another woman before he met his wife, and so he's very open about his circumstances. But he's not, he doesn't glorify the sin, and he says it to show that he's also human and he also needs Jesus, and that Jesus has healed him from that. And so I think if you're preaching or sharing a story, if it brings people to the throne and you're kind of trampled in the process, but they see Jesus, I'm okay with that. But if you show your sin just to give yourself relief, you know what I mean? Cause there's that, there's that relief of, of your conscience when you, you know, when you share, or when you repent, or when you, you know, share your struggle, there's that, okay, now other people know, and I can breathe again. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like that weight on my chest. If I'm just saying that from the pulpit so that I feel better, it's not helpful. But if I'm if I'm being vulnerable in my struggles in a very, you know, responsible way, but it points people to Jesus, or it points people to the gospel, or it points them to repentance, or it points them to whatever they need in Jesus, or a truth found in the Bible that could help them, then yeah, by all means, show your struggles. I mean, that's what Paul did. If you read, you know, all his letters, he was talking about, you know, I do the things that I don't want to do, and I don't do the things that I do want to do. But you know, and so he talks about that. He talks about how he was a Pharisee, and he's done all these great things, but he counts it all as loss because of Jesus. And so I think there's a place for it. You just need to be wise in how you do it, in your motivations.
I like your phrase, trampled in the process, where it leads to Jesus. Yeah, I think that's a good thing. And then going back, like just where you're saying with as pastors sharing, you know, thinking, you know, where you said they're safe and you can share with them. I think also, you know, to where they're at least one step ahead of you. And it's not necessarily, and I think that's the biggest thing I'd struggle too, to where I'm like, I don't know how to get help because I don't, oh, I need, you know, someone who's completely porn free or whatever. Like, no, just start with the guy that's, hey, I've got a few. And that's, you know, that's what I like about the group as well. Yeah. Like, no, this guy just has sobriety for 30 days, so he can tell you, or this guy has it for a week, you know, and how do you just move forward towards that's a lot of it too, of just finding someone who's a step ahead of you and going, okay, how did you get to here? Let me follow you.
Yeah. What can I glean from your wisdom? And yeah, it's very much like that. So yeah, I think there's a lot of wisdom in that.
But I think then, yeah, the issue, I mean, I know again for myself is there's the pride thing that I have to come to Brenton and say, I'm not perfect. I have struggles and I need your help. Like everything a guy doesn't want to do of like, I'm out of control, I'm failing and I need help.
Yeah. Yeah. The confession and then the vulnerability, we struggle with that. Yeah. Cause I think, I don't know, society, or maybe parenting or whatever, when, you know, my dad was like, you don't cry, you know, you don't show weakness, you know, you're a man, toughen up, you know, man up kind of thing. And I think there's a time and place for that, but there's also a time and place for vulnerability. Like, you know, Jesus wasn't this macho man all the time. Like it says he was gentle and meek and kind. And like, how many guys are gentle and meek and kind? Like, ever, like, what is that a normal thing? Like, if somebody says, like, dude, you're really meek and gentle, be like, what'd you say? Like, how dare you? You know,
I'm a man,
but it's like, I'm a man, I'm a real man. See my beard?
Watch, cut myself a bleed.
Yeah. Oh, but I think there's a time and a place for that.
So yeah, speaking of your father, so then, okay, so he's kind of tough, like, how. Yeah. How was your dad? How was your relationship with him? How was your mommy? How was the little Brenton?
Oh, man.
I mean, you don't have to go deep. Just kind of curious, so, like, how, if that, what you just said of don't cry, did you have to overcome that with your kids or?
Yeah, I struggle telling my kids that. I mean, I tell them that, but I'm trying not to be. My dad, I think he did the best he could. And I think my mom did the best she could, but they were not good parents. There was a lot of like mental abuse and some physical abuse, but a lot of mental, and verbal abuse and things like that, growing up. A lot of, I'm trying to be honoring to them. Yeah. It wasn't the safest, I should say.
Yeah.
It wasn't the healthiest growing up. I haven't talked to my mom really since I was 17. She told me that she regretted the day I was born and never wants to be in my life again. And she's ashamed of me kind of thing, all because I was dating my ex-girlfriend. Well, she's my ex-girlfriend now. I had a girlfriend in high school. that sounded weird.
Yeah. I don't know how to say that. I just recently got married in this, you know, cause I broke up. What? Yeah.
No, in high school, I was dating this girl. I had straight A student, everything like that. But she didn't like this girl and said, you can't date her. And my dad was like, dude, totally date her. And so there was a lot of like pitting parents against one another. So like my dad would do things just to make my mom mad. And my mom would allow me to do things to make my dad mad. So super healthy. But I picked up a lot of things with parenting from them that I'm having to like, no, that's not okay. Like, I mm-hmm. don't need to put that pressure on my kid. I need to release that because that's my thing that I'm trying to impose on my son, mm-hmm. or, you know, that perfection, like, you have to do this or else I'm going to look bad. It's like, mm-hmm. no, that's, you know, I don't want to live through you. Yeah. So anyway, with my dad, he was very much like, you have to be tough. You don't cry. There was the machismo kind of type of parenting. Mm-hmm. I can't recall if my mom did anything like that, but, I do know my dad never told me a lot that he was proud of me or that he said he loved me, but actions sometimes speak louder than words. So that was mm-hmm. kind of hard for me sometimes. And so I try to do that with my kids where I tell them, hey, did I tell you I was proud of you? I'm proud of you. I love you. Because I'm trying to break the generational curse, so to speak, of how I was raised and trying to raise my kids differently. But my parents didn't know Jesus. So, mm-hmm. You know, they didn't know what love is, and, I want to know what love, sorry. It went there.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Do it. Get your pink ukulele over there.
Want you to ring. Want you to show me. And so I think with Jesus now in my life, I'm able to kind of go, okay, this is, you know, how can I show them your love as opposed to my conditional love? How can I show my kids God's perfect love?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How did you find Jesus?
So I met my girlfriend, now wife, and she was a Baptist preacher's kid. So my father-in-law is a pastor, and I was Mormon at the time and met her, and she said, you know, are you Christian? And I was like, of course. And so she's like, cool, we can date. So we started dating, and like 2 weeks in, she's like, there's something off, like how you're like, what you're saying and what, you know, we'd have like theological discussions mm-hmm. or whatever. Just, you know, we mentioned Jesus or whatever people start saying. She's like, it's different. Like how you're talking about Jesus is different than how I'm talking about Jesus. And I was like, oh, I'm Mormon. And she's like, oh, okay, well, we'll keep dating, but it can't go any further. Like, we'll just date, but we're not going to get married or anything like that because we need to be equally yoked. And so I was like, okay, well, I'm going to convert you to Mormonism. So I became a Mormon apologist. And so for a year and a half, I was a joy to date because I would just always... Yeah. Like, hey, what about this? What about Joseph Smith? What about the Book of Mormon? What about? And so I would just try to, and I'd go to my, you know, my Mormon experts, and I'd figure out something, and then I'd go to her and say, well, what does the Bible say about this? See, this is why it's true. And she'd go, well, no, this is what the Bible says. And kind of going back and forth, and in the process of trying to convert her to Mormonism, mm-hmm. God made got bigger and bigger in my life, and I deconverted myself from from Mormonism. And I say me, but really God deconverted me from Mormonism. And then I called her January, it was the night of January 1st. So I guess technically January 2nd of 2007, and said, I'm Mormon anymore. I want to be Christian. How do I get Jesus? And so she led me to Christ over the phone.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yep.
I guess
we should get married.
Yeah, I'm like, well, you know, yoke now, do it.
Yeah.
But I love like those stories that you shared where you're trying so hard to convert her mm-hmm. and the whole time God's like, no, dude, you're going with your questions. She's going to show you that the error of your ways and go, holy crap.
Yeah.
Like just
there were so many times that I would just show her something and like in my mind, this totally made sense. And I'm like, no, this is it. And she would go, but why? Like, mm-hmm. why? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. I don't know. She's like, that doesn't even make sense. And I'm like, does it not make it makes sense to me? And she's like, no, well, this is what the Bible says. And so she'd kind of just flat out tell me like, this mm-hmm. is what the gospel is, or this is who Jesus is, or this is who God is, or whatever. And I was just like, I'd walk away so many times, just like, oh my gosh, I don't know anything. So yeah, it was really fun. Yeah. We had a really fun 2 years of dating. Was just theological discussions.
Man, I can't, what a woman that she's like, all right, I'll keep going with this guy.
Yeah.
to be like, yeah, bring it on.
She is she's great. Yeah.
Yeah. So then you would have, did you get married like soon after? Cause it would have been, yeah, 2007, 15. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we got married in October. So we, okay. Once that happened, I got baptized fairly quickly. And then, I was like, you know, I talked to her parents and said, hey, I want to marry her and, you know, could I have your blessing? And they're like, yeah, sure. And, got engaged in July and then married in October. So, I mean, it was fairly quickly, but like I said, we dated for 2 years, but, but yeah, it's shortly thereafter. If you can call 10 months shortly thereafter, but it seemed to go by pretty quickly. So
then when did you start the pastor stuff or like going in that direction?
2014. Was when I started getting into vocational ministry. So I was a, like, cause I had, you know, music background. I was in a band in high school and heavy metal band and all that kind of stuff. And then, once I got saved, I see you smirking. What's the question?
Hold on. Were you heavy metal and Mormon?
Or was yes, it? I was. Yeah. No, yeah, I was. Yeah.
I don't even know how that makes sense.
We didn't play Mormon heavy metal. We played heavy metal. Like I played Metallica and
I know that's what I'm Megadeth saying. Like heavy.
I was they didn't like it either. Let's just say that they were not happy with it. We had a talent show at the Mormon church and I was like, I want to play, you know, my guitar with distortion. They're like, you can't do that here. And you know, that's the devil's music, but they let me, it was fine. But anyway, I was always into music and things like that and writing songs and whatnot. And so after I became a Christian, I was like, I just want to do this for Jesus now. And so I joined the worship team and then I started kind of like lead singing every once in a while. And, you know, and it was at this First Baptist Church in SoCal. And then, one of my friends that I keep getting in contact with, but one of my friends, his dad was a pastor and he was starting a church, in another city. And he's like, hey, can you help me get these youth up to date and how to lead worship and how to, you know, lead a band and pick songs and things like that. And so I was like, sure. So I helped them out for about 10 months. And then I went to a mega church and then kind of was groomed in that church to be a kind of part-time worship leader. And so I would help out and they had worship pastors or worship leaders there, but when they were sick or whatever, they had four different campuses. So I would basically lead at all these four different campuses for years since about 2009. So from 2009 to 2014, I was working full time and then I'd lead worship on Sundays at this church and then, wrote the book somewhere in the middle of all of that. And a church in Utah said, hey, we're looking for a worship pastor. You obviously know the Mormon context of Utah. You have a good theology as far as biblical Christianity and things like that and how to talk to Mormons. Would you consider being our worship pastor and joining, you know, vocational ministry? And at that time I was like, yeah, I think we should. And so wife and I prayed about it and said, yeah, and God opened tons of doors for that to happen. And then been a pastor ever since.
Were you born from Cali then?
So I was born in Provo, actually. So, you know, Mormon country, born in Provo, and then moved to Maine and then lived in Guam and then pretty much SoCal for middle school through college. And then from there, went back to Utah.
Okay. So, that's what I was trying to figure out. Like, I was thinking you were in Utah already because, yeah, with all the Mormons. But okay, that's cool. Then again, how that all connected and, hey, you've been working this lady who converted you and now will bring you over to here.
It's really weird. My life path is really weird, but
yeah, it was. Just how prepares you for all this stuff is pretty cool. Cause so on that, with that move on your blog, you know, from years ago that you can't get into, you talked about that, which I wanted to hit to where us moving out there, what if my kids convert to Mormonism yes. or like whatever. And so wanting just to hear your thoughts on that, but also, I mean, just the bigger picture of, I mean, all of us as parents go, what if my kids turn out bad, evil, you know, gay or lesbian yeah. or trans or like, I mean, yeah. how do you process, how'd you process through yours? And how would you with some of the other stuff would be the same?
So I was absolutely terrified of my kids going to an area where they're, I think it's like 80 to 90% Mormon. Mm-hmm. And just like, oh man, all their kids at school are going to be LDS. And I'm like, not that I have anything against them. Like, I love Mormon people. Like, they're great. They're mm-hmm. super awesome, super nice. Missionaries are always fun to talk to. So it's not like a prejudice thing, but there's clearly a theological divide. And so I was like, man, I don't want to have that struggle for my kids to be like, my dad's a pastor, but I don't believe anything he says. I believe mm-hmm. this, and then have that tension. So I just didn't want that for him. And so I was just kind of just thinking about it and just like, what am I going to do? You know, how do I protect them? And, you know, thought about going into homeschool, like maybe we'll just homeschool them. So they'll just be around us, and, or they'll only go to private school, and, you know, kind of just thinking all through that. And that really wasn't feasible. I went to a conference where they said, you know, we want to raise secure kids, not safe kids. Like we don't want to shield our kids from stuff. We want to make mm-hmm. them safe and strong, but not secluded from the world. You know, we want them to be strong in the world, mm-hmm. but not secluded from the world. And so I was like, okay. And just talking through that with some of my friends, they were like, dude, if God is leading you to Utah, and that's where you're going to go, and that's where God is blessing you and your wife, do you think God's just going to forget about your kids? Like, do you really think like that God doesn't have your kids in this process as well? Mm. And that was like, oh, you're right. I was trying to control it myself. Like, I was trying to do it all myself, and like, I have to do this. And it's like, no, God's got this, you know? And if I'm loving them and showing them truth and being a good dad or the best I can be, then I don't have to worry about anything because they're in God's hands. I mean, they're God's kids anyway. I'm just stewarding them. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I kind of was able to get through that. A friend of mine told me that, and he was just like, dude, God's got this. Like, don't worry about all those little things that you can't control. Just trust that God is leading you where you need to go, and that God wants this for your kids as well. And turns out he was right. You know, turns out God is over his people. And my kids had great friends. We had great friends. All our neighbors were LDS, and we loved all of them. Mm-hmm. They were fantastic people, had really good conversations. My kids had really good friends, both in our church and in the LDS church. And it was just a fun time. Like, we loved Utah. It was great. But in the process of having that divide and driving past four or five different temples all the week, you know, every day or something, my kids would be like, hey, how come we don't have temples? And so you're able to have mm-hmm. these conversations with your kids. Mm-hmm. Hey, why do they go to church for 2 hours? Why do they get baptized at 8 years old when I don't? You know, why do I need to? Like, so having all of those conversations with your kids, I don't think that would have happened anywhere else, mm-hmm. you know, because I remember distinctly having that conversation about temples with my kid, because he was like, well, how come we don't have a temple? Why don't we go? Isn't that important? It says it in the Bible. And so having that conversation was like, oh, this is really cool, you know? And so having those opportunities was really strengthening for not only their testimony in Christ, but also mine as well. So that was great. I would highly recommend. 10 out of 10. Move to Utah. It's really
right in the heart of the LDS community. That's what I've had that similar conversation with, actually. So it's me. There's a friend of mine who's homeschooling his kids, and then one's a teacher in public schools. And so that whole conversation of like, yeah, do we pull our kids out and do homeschool because the public school is messed up and they might be influenced? And then the, you know, public teacher who is a Christian is like, well, aren't we supposed to shine a light like here in the conversation, you know, to where I was, yeah, the same of like, like you're talking about, where I'd rather be having those conversations with my kids now instead of just mm-hmm. shielding them from everything, which I know there's, yes, I'm not against homeschool and it, you know, I understand reasons for that as well, but also like, yeah, you want And not to say my homeschool friend isn't having a conversation. He's very intentional with his kids in it.
Sure.
But yeah, then it's back to that point of, yeah, who's going to be talking to those, you know, like for you, I mean, your wife met you. Okay. She was the one that converted. Like, how are these people going to know about mm-hmm. Jesus or have any sort of chance if we're not in it towards, yeah, it is a scary thing to let your kids go and go, okay, God's got him. He's going to take care of him. But then it's still you as a parent. Like, I mean, that's your job. Like, your kids are going to be exposed to tons of things. So just have the conversation and help them process through.
Well, I think we live in a different time too. I mean, when you and I are basically the same age, when I was younger, the homeschool kids were a little weird.
Oh, like, yeah.
They
made their own clothes.
Yeah. And so I think there was that stigma because I think those kids were sheltered. And I think nowadays the kids aren't as sheltered. I mean, they can be as sheltered as you want them to be.
Yeah.
But they don't have to be. There's sports. There's extracurricular activities. There's all these different ways for kids to get involved. And so I'm not against homeschooling, on principle. Like if somebody wants to homeschool, great. I would always just kind of say, well, what's the motivation? Am I doing this because I need to protect my kids? I need to hold on to them. Like I'm trying to do this and kind of hold on tightly to your kids and say, no, I'm not going to let them do anything or, you know, unless I approve everything. Or is it, no, I think this is just best for our family. Mm-hmm. And if that's the conversation, if you're like, no, I think homeschool is really, it fits our schedule, it fits our budget, it fits, you know, the curriculum we want our kids to know or whatever, like, cool, do that. And that's great. And be free to do that. Don't feel like, you know, that's condemnable or anything like that. But in the same way, if I'm like, well, if I want to bring my kids to public school, okay, cool. Like that's my choice as well. So I think as long as the motivation is for the benefit of the kid and the family, then good. But if it's just like selfishly, I want to shield my kids or I want to protect my kids, that's out of your control, really.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that line. You said your friend shared of just that you have safe kids and shield them or get them out there to where they're, and it's not like, I'm exposing my kids to everything of like, all right, here, let's watch this video. Okay. This is, you know, this is what this is. And here's, but understanding that's the world we live in, you know, and that's how you bring, you know, the light gospel to it and the light to it of just helping a process. But then, I mean, that's what, somebody said, I don't know, smarter me, you know, I'd rather have my kids fail now in my house than when they get out. And so you're giving them the tools and the stuff to process through it to where when they get out there and they start dating someone who's, you know, Mormon going, oh, okay, how does this work? Let's talk through instead of just doing, running off or just freaking out.
Yeah.
But I still freak out of what's going to happen with my kids or what they're going to bring home or what some kid is showing them or especially with phones. Why do grade school kids, they don't need phones.
No,
why are you letting your kid have a phone? Like, come on. Or even my youngest daughter, she's 4. So she's in preschool and they had, you know, Halloween. So costumes. And so, right. Most someone can judge me. That's fine. I don't know if you're into this. I hope not. You'd be weird. But you know what? Most kids, it's like superheroes and princesses, like happy dress up fun. That's what it should be about. So then my daughter was explaining to me, said, but this, you know, one boy, he had a scary mask and it had like cuts and, you know, blood and other stuff. And she's like, it was really creepy. And I was like, okay, that sounds like messed up already. Well, then the teacher, you know, there's an app she can send pictures, whatever, shows a picture of the class. The dude was Chucky, had a Chucky mask on in preschool.
Oh,
I was like, you look at all of them. Everybody else is Power Ranger, Princess, whatever. And then Chucky. I was like, what parent was like, I mean, in one, especially then just.
Can you send me this picture? I'm just picturing just a bunch of happy little kids. And then like this one kid in like the back corner, like peeking behind a bookshelf.
Exactly. And he's going to have his own Netflix series here in a few years. Cause like.
Oh my goodness.
You're letting your if your 4-year old knows about Chucky, like I'm judging you. So that's why I told Juliet, I'm like, no wonder you're scared. That thing is messed up. It's like,
Yeah, that scares adults.
Yeah.
That was like, a scary movie. Yeah.
I haven't watched any of that. That's how big of a chicken I am. But anyways, you know, yeah, like they're going to be exposed to that. But, okay, you know, I think that's the biggest thing I'm trying to teach my kids is like how to ask questions. Because that was the biggest thing. I don't, you know, not against my parents or anything. But I was I get it. My daughter's the same way. And I'm having to figure out the obnoxious kid that's just like, yeah, but why? Why are we doing this? Yeah. And not necessarily trying to be. Yeah. I mean, it was annoying. It is annoying when I'd ask you, like, okay, but knowing, like, I'm just trying to figure out the motivation and how to process it.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of, like, my kids, even in just the simple learning of going, well, why are you doing this way? I don't know. The teacher told me. Okay. Well, how do you actually, you know, critical thinking and process through? Or, okay, so your friend does this. Why is that? Is that okay? Oh, I don't know. So I think that's, yeah, for me, that's one of the best things I can give my kids is. Yeah. How to think and ask questions and kind of process
To be the person that they can ask, you know, I mean, if one of our really good friends, he's a child psychologist and he was talking about in the realm of like porn and stuff like that with you know, you were talking about phones and kids being exposed to different things. He said, if you are the first person to talk to your kids about sex and porn and bodies changing and all those types of things, like the whole sexuality gamut of topics. If you're the one that talks to your kid, you become the expert. And so if church tells you, or not church tells you, if your kids learn about it in church, they become the expert.
Yep.
If they learn about it in school, they become the expert. Mm-hmm. And so like, we were like, oh, we need to be the experts in our kids' lives. Like we want them, not that we are experts, but we want them to come to us. And say, hey, I heard this in school. What do you think? Mm-hmm. And, you know, one, that talks, that means that you're having those conversations with your kids, but it also means that you're having a relationship with your kids to where later on they feel safe enough to talk to you, that they're not, every time they come up to you and ask you those dumb questions, like, why are we doing this? Why? That you're not just like, oh my goodness, stop talking to me, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
you're loving them and explaining stuff so that they know you are a safe person to come to talk to. And that is really hard for me. My wife's really good at it. I'm not so good at it. A lot of times I'm like, I'm so burnt out. I'm so tired. Talk to your mom, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I have to remind myself, like, I need to be the safe space for my kid to be kids and ask questions and get it wrong and fail. Mm-hmm. And I need to be the loving parent that is mature enough to handle their immaturity and handle it well and then point them in the right direction.
Yeah. And I like, cause what Carl said, like how you're saying expert, and then called me out cause I shared something with one of my kids processing through it, but of just not shaming them right to where, especially within the sex, but even just within, you know, whatever thing they're doing, to where you want to be that safe place. And it was I think it was a guy from Hillsong I heard on podcast, to where he was saying, I want my kids to come to me with their sins. Like, yes, I want them to share their joys with me, but I want them to come to me with their sin and go, okay, Dad, here's where it's at. And then for us as, you know, parents to not freak out and go, oh man, let's punish you or shame you because you did something, like you did something bad, but going, it's a kid, like not necessarily excusing behavior, you know, there, but that's, I mean, again, let's go back to Jesus. You look at him and it's like, okay, you did it. Now let's move forward. Let's not, you know, do it again. It's not just like, oh, you're such a whore. Get out of here.
Well, it's meeting. I think Jesus meets people at their sins with truth, love, and grace. And so to meet your sin, your kids' sins, with truth, love, and grace, you know, if they messed up, don't like dumb it down. Don't be like, oh, wasn't that big of a deal? No, it's a sin. It's not big of a deal. If you lied, that's a big deal.
Yep.
And you need to know that it's not a big deal, but I can love you. And so I'm not going to beat you till I feel better. I'm not going to ridicule you. I'm not going to put you down. I'm going to love you through that. And then I'm going to show you grace because I think, you know, we basically live out the gospel with our kids. Who'd have thought?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, right. I like that truth, love, and grace to where, yeah, you're not letting them off the hook or, you know, saying no, whatever, I can't do the work to their sin. Here's the truth, mm-hmm. but yeah, here's the love and there's grace. And I mean, and that's, and the thing that I've found the easiest way to do it is to model it myself, right? To where if I do screw up or do whatever, do I go to my kids yeah. and say, hey, yeah, I'm not necessarily obviously confessing my sins to my kids, but when dad yelled at his daughter a little too much and got a little angry mm-hmm. going, okay, that was too much. Shouldn't have done that. You know, forgive me, love, grace, to where now I'm yeah. keeping it with her when she does it, go, oh, crap. Okay, sorry, yeah. apologies. Like,
yeah,
that's why I hate kids. And, gosh, gosh, make you just do all that.
They have a really good way of pressing your buttons. I know that if that was God's intention, it probably was.
Yeah.
That, you know, I remember one time early on when I was, you know, still not the greatest parent, which I'm still not, but I was, believe it or not, worse than I am now. And I remember like getting mad at my oldest, who was like 3. Mm-hmm. And so he doesn't know anything. He's 3. And I was just like, why don't you listen? Like, I keep telling you this over and over, go pick up your toys. Why aren't? And I was just like hammering this 3-year-old mm-hmm. of like, what's wrong with you? Why, you know? And as I'm saying it, I hear like God's voice, like turn it around on me and be like, do you know, this is like the same thing I want to tell you. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh man. Yeah. I don't listen to you. I don't, you know? And it was like, man, I like, so I don't know. It gave me a different perspective now. Mm-hmm. Every time I talk to my kids, I'm like, am I talking to my kids the way God would talk to me? Mm-hmm. Not that God would berate me and say, how dare you or whatever.
Yeah.
But it made me kind of think like, oh, I need to parent my kids like God loves me. And so I need, and I fail at that all the time. I can give good advice. I can't follow it, mm-hmm. but.
Oh but yeah.
So that's.
Yeah. I've had those moments that are awful where you're saying something to your kid just comes in like, hey, don't you remember what you were? Oh, suck. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want your grace. And I'm not giving grace. You're like, come on. And then just to eat that. Yeah.
And I think in those moments, it is pretty bitter, that humble pie.
Yeah.
But I think the best thing to do is something that, again, going back to vulnerability and trying to break the generational curse of my dad. Was I try to now apologize to my kids as often as I can. Mm-hmm. And I say as often as I can as in every time I mess up, I want to apologize to them.
Yeah.
Hey, I didn't do this right. Hey, I got mad and I shouldn't have got mad. Hey, I yelled at you and I shouldn't have yelled at you. Mm-hmm. And I'm really sorry. Like, that's not the dad I want to be in Christ. That's not the dad I want to be to you. That's not the example I want to set. And I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And some of those have been really hard conversations, but I think I'm hoping that my kids see that I'm not perfect. Mm-hmm. And so because I'm not perfect, they don't have to be perfect.
Yeah.
And it's okay if they make mistakes, because I make mistakes. Like, we're all kind of learning and growing in Christ together. We're all in different journeys and different, you know, paths, but still, yeah. That's what I know. I think that helps parenting your kids and showing them that vulnerability side. There is that strength mm-hmm. in being vulnerable because your kids now see, oh, I can apologize too. I can, you know, follow dad's example or whatever.
Yeah. That's, yeah, same. I'm doing of just teaching them grace. There just wasn't a ton of that in my upbringing of going, okay, yep, we all need some grace. Dad needs it. You need it. This guy needs it. Yeah. I've just, man, giving them that. And then even just thinking, apologizing, there's sometimes, yeah, you're doing, you're like, oh, crap. Okay, sorry, kids. I'm like, this still isn't even good. I'm still trying to defend myself to where you're just like, all right, just, yeah. I'm going to shut up. I'm sorry. I was just completely wrong. Like, gosh, but yeah. I hope. I mean, that's, yeah, I just, going back, like we said, to where I hope when they get into just, I mean, because they're going to, as kids, we all did it, you know, just deep stuff and friendship, it just, mm-hmm. come and go, hey, dad, like, this is what's happened. Like, I remember a story when doing youth ministry, and there was 4 boys, and with their parents, they set up this thing to where essentially if they got into a situation that they just felt super uncomfortable, they could text their parents, and their parent, they wouldn't, not necessarily not get in trouble, but it's like, mm-hmm. we will come take care of you and whatever we need to do. And so, yeah, I remember sharing a story of like, yeah. I got to a party, people are drinking, and I was like, oh crud, I need to get out of here. And so then they use it to where yeah. the parents escape code yeah. of like, oh, you know, dad needs me, or dad's upset, or dad's, so I've got to go, and they'll come get him. And it's like, mm-hmm. okay, we took care of you. There's no shame. That I'm like, that's a genius
yeah.
thing to where it's like, you can call mm-hmm. me anytime, because then their kids do, instead of like, nope, I don't want to, because dad's going to yell at me. So forget it. I might as well just hit the yeah. beer. Oh, I can't even think of that. Not funnel.
Beer bong.
Beer bong. There we go. Thank you. How beer much bong. Of a sinner yeah. I am. There we go. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Or do a keg sin.
I didn't
there
know that. Go. I Googled I saw it real quick.
Yeah, on Google, because I was trying to look up words these kids say that I had no idea. No cap. I don't even remember what it was. Some 20-year-old said a word to me. I said, I feel like you just insulted me, but he's like, no, it's just, it means great. I'm like, okay, whatever. All right. So, yeah, great story, JT. Tell us more. Getting close to an hour.
I found $20.
I forgot about that. Jeez, focus. That's a good one. Yeah. That's your story, right? Because I've heard that from you.
I found $20?
Yeah, yeah.
No, it was something I'd learned in school. Like, you'd say something and it wasn't fun. Like, no one cared.
Yeah.
And so at the end of it, you'd be like, well, then I found $20. And they're like, oh, you found $20? Like, that was like to make your story interesting.
Yeah.
I do tell $20 stories a lot.
Oh, man. I forgot. I'm going to have to use it. Get me out of it. So I did find $20 somewhere. Let's do the rapid fire questions and just get me out of this hole. Okay. All right. So, man, the last few guys have been tripped up by this one. I thought it'd be easy, but just favorite TV or movie dad?
Favorite TV or movie dad? The dog on Bluey. The dad dog on Bluey. He is.
Oh, what's his name?
I think he's the best dad. Rascal?
Oh, man, I should know. We watch all of them because there's Bingo, Banjo. Yeah,
but the Bluey dad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's just dad, mom. Man, he's like the best dad ever.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he does some of the coolest things. And I'm
hate
like,
him
for
that.
I feel like such a bad dad watching that show. Because I'm like, he like gets off of work. And his kids are like, hey, let's do this. And he's like, oh, okay, cool. And then he comes up with like really cool games. And I'm like, man, I suck at this.
Yeah, like, come on.
So yes, he is the epitome for me of being the good dad.
And like, it's I just love the show.
Bandit. Because that's his name. Bandit.
There we go.
Bandit.
Yeah, there because it just sucks you in. You're watching and then you're like, the kids just learned a lesson. But me as the parent, you're like, crap. I just like, you know, basically gently backhanded of like, didn't you do it? Like, yeah, I'm like Bandit. Dang it. Oh, that's a good
thanks,
one.
Thanks, Disney.
Yeah. Yeah. I was trying to curse you for all your other stuff, but you guys are doing great on this. Hobby you enjoy.
Hobby I enjoy. Playing guitar, write music.
And I have this note I got to get. So your blog. You know the guys from Disciple or one of the guys?
I met them. My brother is actually really good friends. Well, not good friends, but he's like on speaking terms with Andrew, their lead guitarist. So I actually have my Disciple hat on today. I've met them all. And they're all really cool guys.
Uh-huh.
So that's all I can say. I don't really know them. Okay. Like, it's not like I could like call them.
Yeah.
But I met them and I probably wanted to be cool on my blog, so I might have fibbed a little bit. I don't remember what I said. But I met them and they're awesome guys. The drummer Joey, I met him at In-N-Out, and that was like the cool. He like sat down at our table and was like, "Hey guys, how'd you like the show?" And like sat down with us as he was waiting for his burger. It was the coolest thing. So yeah, Joey is the coolest.
Dude, that's awesome. Yeah, that's one of those bands, because I remember like my mom was concerned about my soul and, you know, the music I listen to. Like, you need like some Jesus. I'm like, there's no really good Jesus alternatives to rock or anything. So I think the first one she gave me was
Disciple.
Yeah, Cutlass. And I was like, ah, I mean, it's okay. And then, I got Disciple. Like, okay. And then you get into Disciple, Red, all those. Like, okay, I can dig this.
Like, okay, this is good music. Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, it's
they are out there.
Oh, yeah.
There is a sea of bad music out there in all genres, but Disciple, you're pretty safe.
Yeah. All right. So fill in the blank. A dad is
loving.
Nice. I like it. Dad's loving.
Not even thinking about it. Just trying to go rapid fire. Let's do it.
I know. It's sorry. You've shared some of them, but best piece of dad advice you've ever received.
I guess going back to parent your kids in the way that God loves and parents you, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, love your kids the way Jesus loves you. Mm-hmm. Show grace to your kids the way Jesus loves you, or Jesus shows you grace. You know, speak truth to your kids the way Jesus speaks truth to you. Like, all that stuff. Like, however Jesus does it to you, if it's good enough for you from God, it's good enough for you to your kids.
Mm-hmm. Nice. What brings you pride as a dad?
Recently, it's my oldest having my sarcastic sense of humor. That brings me so much pride that I'm like burned a little bit on inside when he makes a joke. Mm-hmm. Like, so we play this game where, I try to be the Bluey dad. And so at the dinner table, I make up like silly word games or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I have this game where we just have to describe a person, and everybody gets three guesses, and you just give clues every once in a while. Mm-hmm. Every like minute or so, you just give a clue and everybody guesses who that person is. And my oldest, I would just say like, all right, I'm a man. And he would go, dad's out. He does it every time. It doesn't matter who it is. But anytime somebody says like, all right, I'm thinking of a person, I'm a man, he goes, dad's out. And it's like, I'm a woman. And he's like, dad's still in. And I'm like, that brings me so much pride.
I'm so proud.
It hurts every time, but it's really funny.
Well, that's like, my daughter, because is the female version of me, and is beginning to get that wit and do it. And we're having to learn that balance of like, okay, there's a time and a place. And right now, like, mm-hmm. you're going to get in trouble if you keep, because she said something to me the other day from the back seat. And I was like, not the time, Genevieve. She's like, okay. So she's learning. But there'd be a few times I'm like, But yeah, there's other times you're like, I'm so proud of you. That hurt my soul, but man, it makes me feel good. You just did that. You're like, yes.
Oh.
All right, last one. That's funny. What story do you want your kids to tell their kids about you when basically, what's your legacy you want to leave?
I just really want my kids to know that I love them and that I did my best. Like, I really do. Mm-hmm. And I'm terrible at it, but I want them to know, like, I'm proud of them and that I want good for them and that I'm for them and that I loved them. Like, that's what I want them to see. And so, I mean, really the stories that I would want them to teach other people would be like, you know, when we were sitting at the dinner table, my dad would come up with these really dumb games, and it was so much fun because I felt like my dad loved me. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's what I would want them to see, is just that I do care about them. I'm not the best at showing it. I'm not the best at any of the advice I've given. I'm actually pretty terrible. I'm pretty sure if my wife hears this, she's gonna be like, you don't do any of this.
Liar.
You just did this for the podcast. But I think that's what I would want them to know, is that I care about them, I love them, I'm proud of them, and I want good for them, and I'm for them.
That's so awesome. I like that. Yeah, man, that's all I've got. Appreciate you being on the podcast and doing this with me.
Thanks for having me.
You're not really on social anywhere, but I'll link, if you want, the book, or at least kind of where that's at, because that's good stuff, or you got your podcast stuff.
Yeah. So the book is Where Is Jesus? Website is whereisjesusbook.com. And then the podcast that I do with my friend James is called Refill. And we just do theological stuff, answering questions or apologetics or stuff like that. And then I think I'm on Instagram with the podcast, but I don't run it. I have other people run it because I try to stay off of
the podcast. Okay.
I try to stay off of social media as much as possible.
Yep. No, because that's what I said. I didn't see on Insta. I'm like, if he hasn't been on this, I doubt, you know, he jumped to the TikTok and that's why there's no Instagram. I'm like, yeah, Britain on TikTok would be hilarious.
No, but yeah, the Refill podcast is available everywhere. Podcasts are, I think, everywhere you can listen to it. Mm-hmm. And then Where Is Jesus? That's on Amazon. You can buy it at any bookstore, online, whatever. Mm-hmm. Should be there.
Nice. All right. Sounds good. Well, thanks again, Brenton. And we'll be talking to you soon.
All right. Thanks, man.
Yep. No, thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of Dad Talks. If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a moment and leave a review. And make sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on any episodes.